Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We're not going to take any calls because we have with us this afternoon Bill Kurtz, who writes for the Washington Times. But he has an excellent book. It's called Treachery, and we certainly want to spend our time covering his material. And, of course, it's a fascinating book because it goes into the fact that France and Germany and Russia and China were selling weapons to Iraq, weapons that they weren't supposed to be selling. And then, of course, we find that they were even selling weapons that Russians actually had their agents in Iraq, destroying weapons, destroying records immediately before Baghdad fell. And of course, the reason for this was that they did not want there to be any record of the fact that the Soviets had actually given so much or sold so much in the way of military equipment to Iraq. And much of this, even when they knew the war was coming, and of course, we know Soviet technicians were there during the first Iraq war, during the first Gulf war, helping the Iraqis, and the Soviet technicians were providing the wherewithal and many of the weapons that Iraq used against our boys. But then so did the French government, so did the German government, so did the Chinese government, and so the title of this book, Treachery, I think is really very, very apropos. And I think it's important that people understand that these people who supposedly were our friends were actually helping our enemies. And the question is, why would they do that? And that's a very, very good question. I think that it needs to be asked, and I think that Bill Kurtz has done an excellent good job. He's got a lot of inside information that has really been suppressed from the American people, because there are people in our State Department who do not want the American people to know that France, the leaders of France, were actually helping Saddam Hussein, violating the international laws and the United Nations restrictions on trade. The same thing was happening as far as the Germans and the others. And now we have on the line with us Bill Kurtz. Thank you, Mr. Kurtz. Appreciate you being with us this afternoon.
Hi, good being with you.
Well, this is a fascinating book that you've written. And now, why don't you get a little bit about in the background? You've got information here I never read elsewhere. How did you get all of this inside information, really going into the fact that so many of these countries that are supposedly our allies are already financing and helping, or at least supplying weapons for our enemies?
Yes, it's an important story because it highlights the fact that some of our closest friends and allies, in fact, have been basically betraying us by providing weapons to our enemies. And I felt, I uncovered a lot of this information as a result of my reporting for the Washington Times, and I felt it was important to put it all together in one comprehensive package, and that's what I've done.
Well, I think you've done an excellent, excellent job of it. And so when we'll talk a little bit about France and then Germany and then, of course, China and its relationship to financing Al-Qaeda. I mean, this is really very, very disquieting when we find the relationship between our Chinese so-called friends and our Russian friends, and how the Russians are helping the Iranians. We'll let you tell these stories. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, Bill Kurtz, his book, Treachery, it's just been out for a very short period of time, and I think it's certainly one of the more important books we have. It's published by Crown. I think you'll find it fascinating. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Bill Gertz. We're talking about his book, Treachery, How America's Friends and Foes Are Secretly Arming Our Enemies. So, of course, you start out just talking about France. And, of course, France, everybody knows that they opposed our going to a war with Iraq. But would you like to go a little bit about the background of how the French were actually supplying weapons and Mirage parts for the Mirage planes and all of that to the Iraqis, knowing full well that the war was coming?
Yes, the story of French support for Iraq is, to me, really disturbing. It actually began in the period where French President Jacques Chirac he really created Saddam Hussein back in the 70s. He invited him to Paris and described him as a personal friend. And then at that point, a lot of the technology began flowing from France to Iraq, including nuclear reactors, which the Israelis acted against back in 1981. But the weapons flow continued, and that by that I mean missiles, aircraft, all kinds of rockets and this type of thing. And I got a hold of a Pentagon report which looked at the weapons which went to Saddam Hussein's Iraq. This was done after the war, and they found that there were between 650,000 tons and 1 million tons of arms from 24 different countries. The top three suppliers were Russia, China, and France. And the conclusion of the report was foreign weapons were used against U.S. and coalition forces during the conflict and continue to be used today by the remnants of the Saddam regime and the terrorists in that country to attack coalition forces.
But, of course, one of the things that's so disturbing is there seems to be an obvious effort to suppress this information from the American people.
Yes. You know, that really surprised me. For example, during the conflict, it became clear that there were Russians inside of Iraq who were helping the Iraqi military with special electronic equipment that was designed to thwart the satellite-guided bombs that the U.S. military was using against Iraqi forces. And the generals basically were muzzled. They were told, don't mention the fact that these were Russian companies that provided this and that there were Russian technicians and Russian military personnel. It's really surprising to me that they made such a great effort to play down the role played by these foreign governments.
Hold that thought for just a minute. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Bill Gertz. One of the things even more disturbing, as I read your book, was the fact that there were actually Russians there in Iraq as we were closing in on Baghdad. They were going around destroying records, so we wouldn't find that they'd been providing all the weapons for Iraq. Was that sort of surprising to you?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there were actually Russian military personnel that were in the country. And, you know, it took a phone call from President Bush to Russian President Putin to say, listen, Vladimir, get your people out of there or they're going to get bombed like the Iraqi military is getting bombed. That's the kind of problem that it was.
All right. Now, what about the relationship between China and the terrorists? Is there any relationship between China and the Al-Qaeda?
Yes. There were numerous intelligence reports, and they found weapons after the fall of Afghanistan in late 2001. They uncovered these weapons. They knew that they had come. Some of these weapons actually were delivered to the Taliban and Al-Qaeda after September 11th. In addition to that, I talked with numerous intelligence officials who told me there was actually Chinese military training of the Al-Qaeda terrorist group in Afghanistan. Now, this had really surprised a lot of officials who were kind of left scratching their heads, although for me it was pretty obvious that the Chinese, you know, operate in a two-track fashion. On the one hand, they try to pretend that they're a friend of the United States, but in reality they're working behind the scenes to help America's enemies.
And I think that really this is so important that they are not our friends at all, and we should stop, in my estimation, we should stop financing them and transferring them technology. One of the important things you had mentioned here is information about a closely guarded Pentagon secret, a new precision-guided weapon in development that could be the ultimate counter-proliferation weapon. What are you talking about?
Yeah, this is a really important weapon system that's being developed, and you can tell it's important because a lot of the anti-nuclear activists have made it a big cause to try and prevent this development. It's called the Robust Nuclear Earth Penetrator, and contrary to its critics, it's not really a new weapon. It's what it is. It's a weapon that's designed to go to burrow into the ground, sometimes as many as 60 to 90 feet through rock before exploding a nuclear blast. And just demonstrating one of these weapons would be enough of a message to nations like Iran and North Korea, which are big on hiding their facilities underground, that they wouldn't be able to do that in the future.
Well, of course, you bring out the point that Russia is helping Iran, and Iran is really going after nuclear weapons. Of course, Iran keeps saying, oh, no, this is all for peaceful purposes. You can trust us. But what's the truth?
The truth is, I uncovered this in my book, was that the Iranians have established a special committee whose job it is, this is a government committee, whose job is denial and deception. That is, their whole purpose is to prevent the world from knowing about their covert nuclear weapons program. You know, the way one intelligence official put it to me, the obvious thing about the truth about the Iranian program is they've had a vice president for atomic energy for the past 15 to 20 years. And obviously this is not being used for the development of electricity, but it's being used to covertly develop nuclear weapons.
And of course, Israel cannot let that happen. I mean, Israel cannot allow Iran to have nuclear weapons. I mean, they took out the Iraqi nuclear weapons in the early 1980s. Do you think they'll do the same thing with the Iranian nuclear weapons?
Well, there are a lot of concerns that may in fact happen. In fact, just last week, Israeli President Ariel Sharon said that the world wasn't doing enough to deal with the Iranian nuclear threat. And that was an indication that the Iranians may try to do something. There's a key window of opportunity for them, and that's between now and the middle of next year, because that's when the Russians are planning to deliver the first amount of nuclear fuel to the Bushehr reactor, which is located along the Persian Gulf. And if they bomb the facility before that, it's just a pile of concrete. If it happens after that, then you have the problem of environmental contamination.
But I thought we were giving hundreds of millions, if not billions, of dollars to Russia to stop this nuclear proliferation. Yet you're suggesting that Russia is going to be supplying nuclear fuel to Iranians to build nuclear bombs with?
Well, the ostensible reason is that they're giving it to this Bushehr reactor, but in reality, we know that it's going for nuclear weapons development. Yes, there was a lot of hope that the Russians would wake up after this recent Beslan terrorist attack, but they've announced since that attack that they do not plan to curtail their support for the Iranian nuclear program. So I think Russia's got an even bigger problem, and of course, the news out of Russia today is that Putin is moving even further away from democracy and more towards a dictatorship than it already is.
Now, he's then using this terrorist attack to justify putting in all sorts of new laws to take away the freedom of the Russian people.
That's what it appears to be. You know, I've talked with a number of former KGB officials, and they're very worried about the course of political freedom in Russia. It's declining. It has already declined sharply, and it is likely to decline even further under these new measures.
Well, you point out that countries like the Ukraine, Kazakhstan, and Belarus are willfully violating anti-proliferation agreements to arm Iran's radical Islamic cleric. In other words, all these countries are helping prepare Iran, and my concern, and I wonder if yours is too, that we could be heading towards a worldwide nuclear war.
Well, you know, I interviewed Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, excuse me, for this book, and he expressed the same concerns. He said that within the next 15 to 20 years, there could be at least five more nuclear powers. And that, he didn't name the countries, but obviously that's not a good situation when it comes to the situation with the world being polarized between a lot of pro-terrorist states.
Well, what's your take on Libya? Is Gaddafi really sincere about trying to be a good guy now and join the family of nations, or is he simply biding his time, pretending to be agreeable while he's actually planning later on, of course, to pursue what he was pursuing before he made these overtures of friendship?
I'm very skeptical on the Libyan disarmament. There's been a lot of political euphoria expressed about Libya's willingness to give up its nuclear programs, but there are already troubling signs that the Libyans have not abided by their pledge to disarm, and in fact are covertly continuing to receive supplies for their nuclear program, and that they may not have given up all of their nuclear program. In addition to that, as part of this disarmament agreement, Gaddafi, Muammar Gaddafi, the Libyan leader, was supposed to have renounced terrorism. Yet he was caught attempting to plot the assassination of a Saudi Arabian leader through a terrorist action. And then the most troubling thing is that we should not forget that Gaddafi has blood on his hands in the form of the Pan Am jetliner that blew up over Lockerbie, Scotland in 1988, killing 270 people. I mean, Libya and Gaddafi were directly responsible for that, and they should be held accountable for that.
Well, of course, do you think there was any involvement along with Libya as far as Iran and possibly Syria? In other words, that they may have been the instigator and Libya would have carried it out.
That's very much possible. There's a lot to that, but it is known directly that Libyan intelligence agents did it, and they didn't act on their own. They acted on behalf of Gaddafi.
Okay. Well, of course, you know, knowing well, you begin to realize we live in a very uncertain world. One of the things that disturbs me is that, of course, transferred so much technology to Communist China so that they could get more accurate missiles. Then Communist China transfers it to North Korea, and North Korea transfers it to Pakistan and to Libya and to Syria and to Iran. So, you know, but it's our technology. Why would we be so foolish as to transfer that, knowing full well it would create the best enemies money could buy?
It's a real perplexing question. You know, the one of the things that I uncovered in this book was that they found in Libya, when they were doing the dismantlement, they found Chinese language documents showing how to design a small nuclear warhead. Now, that's extremely significant because that's what you need to put on a missile. If you have a nuclear device that's so large it can only fit in a truck, it's not going to be useful. What you need is something to go on a missile. And here, the Chinese supplied that information to Pakistan, and this clandestine procurement network headed by the Pakistani scientist, A.Q. Khan, went and transferred that to Libya for certain, and probably to Iran and North Korea. So you have, and mentioned earlier, that most of the Chinese designs were stolen from the United States laboratories. So I have a chapter in the book which I call Proliferation Negligence, which is how the United States didn't protect its nuclear secrets enough and actually contributed to that proliferation.
Well, I've talked to people who worked in security down there in Los Alamos, and that when they tried to do something, they got into all sorts of trouble. So you have to wonder, is this just totally being inept, or is there some other agenda there? Is there something that's sort of unexplainable? Because I find it difficult to understand why we would be so inept, accidentally.
Yeah, it's hard to explain, but my understanding of it is that the scientists have a culture of wanting to share information that is at odds with the need to secure that information and prevent rogue states from getting it.
Well, I wish we could talk to you for about 2 hours, because I know you have a million things to do, and so I do appreciate you taking the time with us this afternoon, Bill.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.
Look forward to having you again. Our guest has been Bill Gertz. His book is Treachery.
A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background to this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine, but those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, unfortunately, Bill Gertz couldn't stay with us. We thought he was going to be with us 30 minutes, it ended up 20 minutes, so that means it's going to be open lines, and if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Now, it's only a matter of time before we are involved in the conflict with Iran, and the frightening thing is that Iran already has some nuclear weapons, at least according to Yosef Podansky, and he writes about this next to the last book that he puts out. Yosef Podansky is the director of the Congressional Task Force on terrorism and unconventional warfare. Very knowledgeable. We do carry his book, Bin Laden, the Man Who Declared War Against America. And we don't carry the last two books, but we've read them. And he makes it point very clearly that Iran had purchased several nuclear weapons. These are probably atom bombs, not hydrogen bombs. On the open market, they already have them. They would like to be able to produce more. And they intend to produce them. And, of course, Israel is not going to allow them to. They will take out the site, you know, if they have to, even if the whole world turns against them. Well, the reason, of course, that we are in Iraq has nothing to do with the fact that Saddam Hussein was such a nasty man. Of course he was a nasty man. But if you study his history, you'll find he started out working for the CIA. He was trained as a killer. He eventually assumed power, I believe, in 1979. And we backed him all during the 1980s. We provided him with intelligence. We provided him with weapons. We provided him with billions of dollars. And you want the documentation on that? We'll be glad to get that for you. And then it's important that you understand that we have actually created Saddam Hussein. We kept him in power. And if you haven't read the book, See No Evil by Robert Baer, who was a CIA agent working in Kurdistan in 1995, and he makes the point very clearly that every Iraqi he ran into believed the United States was keeping Saddam in power, and many believed he was actually working for the CIA. And of course, Robert Baer gave two separate instances. One he witnessed personally, and the other, of course, what every Iraqi knew, and that was when the military tried to overthrow Saddam, why we betrayed the military to keep him in power. So you have to understand that nothing is as it appears to be. Anyway, then, of course, we've been bombing Iraq for a decade between 1991 and the invasion here in 2003. So it would be very weak. And why did we do that? Why, we wanted, of course, to go in against the weakest country over there that we could easily defeat, so that then we would be able to have our troops stationed and build up our supplies in preparation for the coming war with Iran and with Syria. That's what it's really all about. Well, right now we've got Sarah Joe calling us from New York. Hi, Sarah. Joe, how are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. What part of New York are you living in?
I live in right now in Brockport.
All right, fine. So you're listening on Dr. Wolf's stations.
Yes, yes.
All right,
wonderful to have that here.
You certainly are. And we're so glad to have an opportunity to talk to people in that area.
Yes.
All right, tell us, do you have a question or comment?
Well, yes, I do. About a couple of weeks ago, I listened to, your caller or your guest at 6 o'clock tonight, between 6 and 7. He's got the
Bob Chapman, International Reporter.
Yes. He made a statement. I wanted to actually speak with him, and I didn't get a chance to get on, and also your last guest, which I'm sorry he only could stay the 20 minutes. But he made a statement about Venezuela. I don't know if you remember about a couple of weeks
ago.
Yes,
I do. And he thinks that Chavez is a good guy, that he's a populist, not a communist. Right. And he thinks that that we were wrong to try to depose him. My friend Joel Skousen thinks that he is a bad guy. And so you have two very good people, both very capable on opposite sides of the picture.
Right. Well, I have connections to Venezuela.
All right.
I lived down there for many years, and my ex-husband is from there, and my kids were raised there. And I can tell you that Chavez is not a good guy.
All right. All right, fine. Well, of course.
And I wanted to take issue with him because the voting situation they just had, the election, I guess, it wasn't really an election, but it was to determine whether or not there should be elections, was nothing short of a scam. And they had proof of that. They have electoral voting machines, like we are going to be having, I guess, soon. I hear the music. Do you want me to hold?
All right. Would you mind holding? Because we're going to have to...
No, not at all.
We'll be glad to get your views on this. And quite frankly, I have good people on both sides. I wish I had more information. I'll be very interested in hearing what you have to say. So just hang on there. And, of course, if you're out there in the listening audience, remember our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Thank you.
really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaur's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaur's book, Ode to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaur will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaur.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, and we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And we'll be back in just a moment with our special guests. Well, we've got Sarah Jo calling from New York, and Sarah feels that the elections down there in Venezuela were rigged. Go ahead, Sarah Jo.
Yes. Well, just from firsthand, the people who I speak with and keep in contact with down there, they went, for example, the day of the election, and they stood in line from 6:30 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon, and every once in a while the army, you know, the military people would say, because that's who was, you know, policing it, they would say that there were not going to be any more allowed to vote, and people would have to leave, but they stood there, they didn't leave, and then they stayed in line, and some people left, some people didn't. And then they would come back like an hour or so later and say, well, okay, we'll let a few more of you vote now. And it went on that way all day long.
I thought Jimmy Carter was down there to make sure it was done honestly.
Well, yeah. Yeah, he's been down there a number of times. He stays, I guess he pretty much goes to the clubs in the hotels, and he doesn't go out much. He doesn't get out much. When during the election, the actual election, 5 years ago, I guess it's been 4 or 5 years ago now, I knew the other candidate, the major candidate that was running against Chavez, and he went to seek audience of Jimmy Carter to say that there was voter fraud and he had proof of it, and Carter refused to see him. He did not get in to even see Jimmy Carter. So,
well, see, that's the trouble with democracy, is that, you know, when you give all power to the government, then all you have to do is cheat and keep your power. But that's why our founding fathers gave us a republic, limited the power of government so they could never become tyrannical. And so you can never have a Cesar Chavez or, pardon me, a Chavez or anybody else. I mean, we could even have Khrushchev as our president. He wouldn't be able to do anything because his power would be limited. And yet we're pushing democracy throughout the whole world. And I think that's a terrible mistake. Why don't we push these concepts of freedom and limited government power rather than, well, as long as the majority says it, it's all right. And then, of course, you bring in the electronic voting machines.
Right, exactly. And that's exactly what happened there. They did prove that people were voting that were dead, you know. Well, supposedly, I don't know how they voted, but they voted.
Well, they voted for Lyndon Johnson. That's how he got to be a president. In fact, the story of the little boy whose father died, and he wept and wept because his father came back to vote for Lyndon Johnson, but he didn't come to see him. That was sort of a standard joke in Texas. And this is what they do in Chicago. Whenever you have democracy, it's always going to be misused. So,
exactly.
What's your point? That you think that it's a fraudulent election is the majority really don't want Chavez? What about the poor people down there? I understand that he promises to help the poor people. That's how he gets their support.
Well, one thing he does, and I just had my ex-husband, I spoke with him. I'm going to be going down there in a couple of weeks. And I spoke with him, and he said one of the family members, actually his niece, his nephew-in-law, had their farm, their ranch, taken away from them. Now, this is not a huge ranch that makes a lot of money, but they came in, and what happens is they get squatters on their land because Chavez actually promoted that years ago. You know, hey, if you don't have, go and find. You know, they even had instances where people would go away and lock up their apartments. People would break into the apartments and take over. And the original owners could not get their property back.
Well, I suspect that we're going to have that here as well before too long if we don't get things straightened out and we don't begin to limit the power of our government over our lives. And there's encouraging people that come in here who have, you know, can't even speak the language but promise to give them everything. And they are encouraging people to come in to violate our laws, to vote, to keep the politicians in power. I'm very concerned about what's happening here. Look, I really appreciate so much your call.
I'm also concerned, and thank you very much for letting me speak.
Okay, thanks so much. Let's go to Jeannie, who's calling us on a cell phone, and Jeannie spends part of her time in Central America, so she may have something to say about this. Jeannie, did you have a comment to make on Mr. Chavez? Is he a good guy or a bad guy?
Well, he's horrible, Dr. Steele.
All right, fine.
He's actually decimating the middle class down in Venezuela. And I have a real problem with Chapman. He has a good newsletter, which I subscribe to, the International Forecaster. A lot of it is credible, but his information on Venezuela and Chavez is totally wrong. I believe probably Chapman is a good guy, but he's getting fed disinformation from someone, and I'm not sure. But Chavez is tying in with Fidel Castro, and they're actually taking over the middle class. And this is where the businesses are in an uproar because they are getting decimated with Chavez coming in as a dictator. He's changing the Constitution down there. And so I have a real problem with Chapman saying that he's a good guy.
No, well, I think that even good guys can sometimes be wrong on certain issues. So I'm not bulldogmatic. I really don't know about it. I'd like to know.
And Joel Skousen, I'll tell you, anything he says about Central and South America, he is right on the money. And so people have to understand that there's actually, a Southern Military Command, which was stationed on both sides of the Panama Canal, that's our defense force for the underbelly of the United States. And since Hutchinson Lampoa, this is the communist Chinese, took over both sides of the Panama Canal, the Southern Military Command has now moved up to the embassy in El Salvador.
In other words, we gave, there's no question, it was the policies of our government that gave the Panama Canal to the Chinese communists. You have to ask yourself, why would they do anything that stupid unintentionally?
Now, Dr. Stan, you say that Jimmy Carter was down there. That is a total laugh.
Well, he was down there, and I didn't say he did anything.
Well,
but he gives legitimacy to the Chavez claim that it was an honest election, but I wouldn't give any legitimacy to Jimmy Carter because, of course, he is a tool of the internationalists. He was a member of the Trilateral Commission. He was chosen by David Rockefeller and Zygmunt Brzezinski to become our president in 1976. And, of course, he betrayed the Vietnamese. He betrayed everybody, really.
Well, he actually betrayed General Somoza of Nicaragua.
Oh, well, don't forget how he brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power. How they precipitated the Afghan war that brought about the whole Islamic terrorist movement. So that happened all under Jimmy Carter's watch. Everybody's forgotten.
It's almost like they were going to choose Henry Kissinger to be ahead of the 9/11 commission investigation. And this is the same with Carter being down there. He is just a tool for the internationalists. I'm so glad that lady, I think her name was Sarah Joe.
Yes, it was.
From New York. I'm so glad she called, and I hope she's listening to me now, because we understand that we live there, and we have friends down in South America. We understand what's going on, and there's disinformation coming out.
I'm sure that there is. There's so much of it is. Well, I appreciate so much your calling, and incidentally, thank you for that book you gave me on the age of treason. That is a wonderful book, and we'll be talking about that on our programs in the future. Thank you so much, Jeannie.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And let's go to Fred calling from Salinas. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 464-8295. It's open lines, and we've got Fred from Salinas. Hi, Fred.
Yeah, good morning. I was going to ask you, do you remember, what was the guy's name, the ambassador to Iraq that was first in there?
Well, the one I talked to was Ambassador William H. Sullivan, who was there before.
The one that just left there.
Oh, I don't know that one. Anyway, the one I talked to was there before the Iran hostage crisis, but that was back in, 1980?
Anyway, the last one that was there just before Negroponte went in there, he was a passenger.
He was what?
He used to work for the Kissinger Associates. But now that...
you're not talking about Paul Bremer.
Yes, Paul
right,
Bremer.
No, okay, he wasn't the ambassador. He was the ambassador to...
to Iraq.
Right, you're right. I was thinking of William H. Sullivan, the ambassador to Iran. No, you're right. Paul Bremer was sort of the number uno. He was almost like the dictator, the military dictator, and now he's left. And we put... Alawi in, and he's simply a CIA pawn, former member of the, worked for the CIA, and he is simply an American puppet, and everybody in Iraq and everybody in the world knows it except for the American people, who honestly believe he is the selection of the, somehow of the Iraqi people, and yet we won't allow any elections over there. We wouldn't dare allow the elections because the first thing that they would do if they had their own representatives would be ask the Americans to leave, and we have no intention of leaving.
You know, now we have our ambassador there is Negroponte.
Okay.
And he was the ambassador down in Nicaragua and Central America during the 80s with when we had the wars down there. He was in charge of a lot of the death squads down there in Honduras and Nicaragua. And I've seen a total blackout on him, and I was wondering if you have ever heard anything what's going on with Negroponte there in Iraq.
No, I really haven't, but I will tell you we are building the largest American embassy anywhere in the world in Iraq. Now, if we're going to pull out, why are we building the largest embassy anywhere in the world in Iraq? And I would like to suggest we have no intention of pulling out, but we have to convince the American people we're going to pull out. And then, of course, some incident will come up, and we'll justify the war with Syria or Lebanon or Iran. But there always will be an incident, like, well, the sinking of the Maine. That's how they got us into the Spanish-American War, and what was the German atrocities that got us into the First World War, and the attack on Pearl Harbor that got us into the Second World War. And, of course, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which never occurred, that got us into the Vietnam War. and, of course, the Kuwaiti invasion by Saddam Hussein back in 1990. But everybody's forgotten that our ambassador encouraged Saddam to go ahead.
So
all of these are manipulated. It's about time the American people understood that they never tell the American people the truth about why we go to war.
Well, but I think everybody should keep their ears open to find out what Negroponte's doing over there, because it's there's almost been a total blackout on him. And
well, see, the thing is that they never talk about anything really important. I mean, we focus our attention on the tragedy of the American boys who are being killed, or the American boys are being wounded. And we heard this last week that 1,000 American boys had died. Now, that is simply in Iraq. That doesn't include, and I've heard figures as high as 800 of the mercenaries. Who are the mercenaries? Why, they are people working for the CIA. They are black operations people. And then that doesn't include the number of people we've lost in Afghanistan. And then they talk about the 5,000 people who've been wounded. But do you notice they never use the word casualty? Because when you get to casualty, the last thing I saw was 13,000. It's probably up closer to 20,000 at the present time, because a lot of these boys are coming back and they're very ill with all sorts of undiagnosed illnesses, multiple aches and pain, and they can't think, and their minds are gone. And of course, I suspect much of this is the depleted uranium poisoning, because we're poisoning the whole population over there.
We've had a tremendous amount of suicides coming back.
Right, and you wonder why would this be? And of course, some of those suicides may be due to some of the medications they're being forced to take. We've got real problems. A lot of these boys will never be the same. If we didn't learn from the first Gulf War, where we had over 695,000 troops over there, and we know that over 200,000 have been given permanent disability status. It suggests that there's another 200,000 that are trying to get the permanent disability status, or at least 100,000 to 200,000, in addition to the 200,000 or already have a disability status related to this Gulf War illness, which I believe was probably related to the experimental vaccines that were used on our boys. But it's perfectly all right to experiment. Nobody is ever punished for using experimental vaccines on either our military or on the American people. And if anybody has not yet read the Rockefeller report that came out from the Veterans Administration in 1994, they ought to get that and read it to find that it's perfectly all right to experiment on the American public. They've done it repeatedly, and they're doing it today with their fluoridation, with their genetic foods. The Europeans won't fluoridate their water. Why not? The Europeans won't allow genetic engineered food. Why not? Well, because they know about the scientific studies and totally blocked out here in the United States. But you want to get information on it, it's all up there on the Internet. You need to get on the Internet and look up these things and find out why. It's simply a massive experiment. How you can dull down the sensibility, the mind, the intellect of the American people using fluoride. In fact, I just mentioned when Jeannie was on the line about the book she had given me called The Age of Treason. It was written in 1957 by a 32nd degree Mason who actually was probably very sincerely concerned about the fact they were going to use additives to food and to water to control the minds of the people and make them more docile so the elite could control this. And he simply quoted from Bertrand Russell. Now, his book was written in 57. He was quoting Bertrand Russell's book written in 53, talking about adding things to our water and to our food so we'd be more docile, so we could be controlled by the elite who rule the world, of whom Bertrand Russell was one. Bertrand Russell's book was The Impact of Science on Society. If you can get a copy, you need to have it. I have one. The Impact of Science on Society, where he talks about how we need to kill off large parts of the population with the Black Plague. We couldn't kill off enough with war. We couldn't kill off enough with abortion. But if a Black Plague could sweep the world once in every generation, why, of course, then people could procreate as much as they want without doing too much harm. I believe that's page 103, although you'll find it in my essay on population control, my articles on it. These things are real. People don't understand. They really are evil and wicked people out there. And you're right. You know, things are going on over in Iraq, and we're not getting the truth about it. Fred, anything else you'd like to say?
I just want to say that everybody should go back and read their None Dare Call It Treason. I think that book is more relevant today than it was. It was written in 62.
Basically 64. It was published in 64 because it was during the Goldwater years. And John Stormer, the editor, or the author of None Dare Call It Treason, is going to be our guest, I think, Thursday this week on this program.
Well, that book is sure relevant. I know that.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's why we carry the book, and we not only carry that book, but his update. The None Dare Call It Treason 25 years later. And that's why John Stormer is going to be with us Thursday. And you know what he's going to talk about? A book called None Dare Call It Treason. Hey, thanks so much. That's apropos.
Have a good day.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, this is Dr. Stan, and we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up this program here at Radio Liberty. But if you haven't read None Dare Call It Treason, it was written in 1964, you need to get that. If you'd like to get the update, None Dare Call It Treason, which is the original volume, plus the additional ones, 25 years later, we carry them both right here at Radio Liberty. As well as John Stormer's three recent videos. You'll want to get them and learn from his wisdom. Well, we have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. And we're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, what really happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, what really happened. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when we need to tell you a little bit about some of the items that we have that go along with what we're talking about today. And certainly we're talking about what really goes on over in the Middle East and how this all ties together. We have a great video. It's called Iraq, the Untold Story. Now we have an update which goes into the background of what's happening. That's Iraq, the path to the New World Order. But Iraq, the Untold Story is really my favorite because it's basically the story of all the wars of the last century, starting with the Spanish-American War and of course, the charge up San Juan Hill and the background of why we went into war. Of course, it was all staged. The Spanish did not sink the Maine, but they had to have an excuse to go to war. And then the background of World War One and the background of World War Two, and how the members of this small secret society were encouraging Adolf Hitler at every turn. If you haven't seen Iraq, the Untold Story, you'll want to get the video, and you'll want to get the syllabus that goes with it, because the syllabus has all sorts of documentation, original documents of letters you'll never see quoted elsewhere, and you'll actually see the context of those letters and so much more. Iraq, the Untold Story. The video, the syllabus, is seminal if you want to understand what's going on in the world today. And you want to understand why we're in Iraq, because you're not there for the reasons that you think. We're there to carry out the programs of a group called the Project for the New American Century. You can go to their website, newamericancentury.org, or get my syllabus. We've taken their material. They talk about how we're never going to have our programs unless there is a catastrophic and catalyzing event like another Pearl Harbor. A catastrophic and catalyzing event like another Pearl Harbor. And guess what? We had one on September 11th. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and this is one I have to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty really is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to finance what we do 5 hours every day as we reach out by radio and shortwave and by internet and by satellite and reaching people really not only throughout America but throughout the world. And we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family, and you can do that by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. For a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but you'll really be helping us do what we do. And then, of course, we hope that if you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, my August newsletter goes into the background of what's happening financially, and it goes into the background of what Alan Greenspan really thinks, not what he says today, but what he really thinks. What does Warren Buffett really think is going to happen? Because Warren Buffett's a pretty smart man. He's a friend of Lord Rothschild's. He was the man who was assigned the job of taking Arnold Schwarzenegger over to meet Lord Rothschild before Arnold was tapped to run for the governorship of the state of California. So Warren Buffett is one of the insiders. And so what does he really think? Well, do you want to get my free copy of my August newsletter? Of course, hopefully you want to subscribe to it, but I think the August newsletter really is well worthwhile getting and reading and studying and going over again and again, because it will give you some concept of what's happening. And believe me, those who do not make their preparations now prepare to be impoverished, just as the people of Argentina were 3 years ago. Argentina was a prosperous nation with a prospering middle class, and today over half the population lives below the level of poverty. And, of course, the country is beginning to come back now, but the people are impoverished because they've lost everything. And you have to understand what's happening, and you need to understand from the past to understand what's going on, because as we've been told by George Santayana, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Well, you'll certainly want to get my August newsletter, and we'll be glad to send you a free copy if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. To understand the spiritual nature of what's happening, you'll want to get our four tapes out on the church growth movement, our video on Diaprax. That's Diaprax. You'll want to get the video of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, either the 4 or the 10 hour version. You want to get Rock and Roll Sorcerers of the New Age. This is a new tape, excellent tape. And then, of course, you'll want to get the material we have going into the background of the wisdom of Malachi Martin, the background of what's happening in the Catholic Church, the satanic cells working within the church. There's a new book out called Lucifer's Lodge. It's written by a Catholic, William H. Kennedy. Comes from the Boston area, of all places. And, of course, I'm not going to tell you anything about Mr. Kennedy, other than he's a very concerned Catholic. Lucifer's Lodge, an important book, which we carry along with so many other books, and you'll get a catalog that will list all of these books for you. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to get the Rock and Roll, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 4 or the 10 hour version of that. You need to understand the origin of the music which is being played in our Protestant and our Catholic churches today. And then, of course, remember our all-day meeting we're going to have here on the 6th of November. Lunch is going to be served. It's going to be the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And start early in the morning, go into late in the evening. We're bringing in outside speakers. And we have people coming from all over the United States, as probably all over the world. In the past, we've had people from other countries come. Hope that you want to be here. That's November 6th, the Saturday. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 to make a reservation. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.